Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
almost 9:09 on KDXU. I'm Andy Griffin. Thanks for tuning in to the Andy Griffin Show today. It's good to be here. It's good to be back in town. And I had a couple of nice texts from folks yesterday saying, glad you're back. I appreciate that. One person said, texted me, said, glad you weren't fired. Thank you. I'm glad I wasn't fired too. Although honestly, edging up on 60 years old, if I got fired, I'd be like, I think I would just ride off into the sunset and be like, hey, I'm good. I'm done. I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. Let's get you up to date on a couple of things. First of all, in the news, we'll start with that fire, the Forsyth fire up in Pine Valley. An update from Washington County Sheriff's Office this morning. As of this morning, the fire has burned 8,229 acres. There is still 0% containment. More than 500 firefighters, including a level 2 response team, is up there to help fight that fire. This is, again, according to the sheriff's office, says crews are focused on securing the southwest edge of the fire, working along ridge lines and in Lloyd Canyon to protect structures. Brandon Hansen, who was on a moment ago, said he has a cabin up in Lloyd Canyon and hopes it doesn't burn down again. It has burned down before. They say, let's see, what else? So strong winds are expected again and high temperatures later on this week. So they're trying to do what they can to get some semblance of control of this fire before the winds hit again. They expect perhaps red flag warnings. That means dry and hot and windy on Thursday. So they're going to do whatever they can to get that thing under control. Pine Valley and Grass Valley are still 100% requisite evacuations. Pinto is actually optional evacuation. They said folks should be ready to go at any time, though, in case the fire does shift. 13, the official number is 13 homes were burned. The good news, no new homes burned yesterday. And according to Gil Almquist yesterday, he said, best of all, there have been no lives lost or even any serious injuries. Three fires, though, are burning. Not just the one. There is one up by Bryce Canyon. And it's called the France Canyon Fire. That is bigger. It's burned 23,000 acres. It is at 10% containment. And there's a fire down on the Utah-Arizona border, rather, down near Lake Powell called the Bridge Creek Fire. And that has burned 2,200 acres and is at 0% containment. They said it is in rugged, kind of rough areas, ridge lines and everything, where they really can't get a lot of firefighters in there. So they're letting it burn and monitoring it to see what they can do to mitigate, maybe slow it down a little bit. There was also a health risk warning put out by the Department of Health, saying exposure to smoke can be bad for people, especially those with breathing problems, also pregnant women. They say exposure to wildfire smoke can actually hinder the growth of a baby inside of you and lead to small birth weight. They're calling it small for gestational age babies is what it's going to hinder. So, yeah, a little bit scary thing there. Also in the news, a couple of kids have been taken from their home in Idaho, Rochelle Fisher and Alan Fisher. The mother of the children divorced a guy who was a member of the Fundamentalist Church and had ties to Warren Jeffs. And she believes they were taken to be returned to their father and be returned to the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So they were kidnapped in Idaho, but they believe they're headed for Utah and a reuniting with the Fundamentalist Church. We'll find out if they find those two kids and return them back to their mom. Also, a story out today about the suicide hotline. Now, you know, I'm a big advocate of the suicide hotline. Chris Stewart was instrumental in helping put that thing together. They staffed it with professional therapists and psychologists and who can help people who are experiencing distress, mental distress in their life. The bad news is the hotline is not being used as much. Now, 16 million people have used it in the last 3 years since it opened, 2.5 years since it opened. So that's good news. But the bad news is a lot of states are not using. In fact, the awareness that there is a suicide hotline, a crisis hotline, only about 13 to 15% of adults are even aware of that. So, you know, I don't know, casual conversation, you're hanging out with your relatives or friends and say, hey, if they mention anything about any kind of mental anguish, say, you know, they have a hotline you can call and talk to people, and it's free. Just call 988. By the way, as far as states in the United States, apparently the three states using the suicide hotline a lot, this is not a commentary on who's committing the most suicides, but rather those that are maybe perhaps reaching out for a little bit of help. It's a good thing. The states doing well, New York, Alaska, and I think it was Delaware was the other one. States not doing well include Delaware. No, Delaware was one of the bad ones. Sorry. New York, Alaska, and Vermont. Delaware, Alabama, and Florida had the lowest per capita use of the phone lines. Utah was smack dab in the middle as far as statistics. But we need to do better for sure. By the way, Utah, about 24 contacts a day on the 988 hotline. Also, one other story from the news worth mentioning. Sales of homes have gone up. They expected it to go down 1%. It actually went up close to 1% in the last month. It's still not on the pace last year of homes being sold, but it is much better than experts predicted. So that's a positive thing. And then this story came across the wire today. I haven't talked about it on the air because I don't think it's valid or really applicable to us here in St. George, Utah, but I thought this was pretty fascinating. So there's a movement, an effort to boycott McDonald's starting today over McDonald's decision to back away or roll back some of its diversity initiatives. What that means, to simplify, is McDonald's, in kind of taking the clue, the lead from Donald Trump, said, yeah, DEI maybe not as important to us as finding the right person for the job. McDonald's is one of many companies who have kind of fallen into line and said, you know what? Yeah, that's actually a bad thing. So here are the businesses, American businesses, who have said DEI is not for us. Walmart, John Deere, Harley-Davidson, Lowe's, Ford, Coors, Jack Daniels, Caterpillar, Boeing, Toyota, Stanley, Craftsman, DeWalt Tools, and Tractor Supply Company, as well as the aforementioned McDonald's and Starbucks, have all backed away from DEI. Now, if you're my age or maybe even a little younger, you lived through affirmative action. Remember affirmative action? Basically, I mean, it was a running joke. We laughed about it, but it wasn't funny. You know, I guess what else can you do, right? Was the idea that the color of your skin mattered more than your ability to do a job. And so you could take two guys of equal talent. Maybe the one guy is more talented than the other guy and better suited for the job, but he's white, and the other guy is maybe Hispanic or African American or Asian, in East Asian. The company will go, okay, this guy's a little better, but this guy's got, and we got to meet the affirmative action numbers and quotas, so we're going to hire the other guy who's maybe not as good at the job. Well, as affirmative action got repealed and people realized that is pretty much racism right there. It's, and I don't know, reverse racism. I don't know what you call it. But as affirmative action kind of got pushed back and repealed, DEI showed up. DEI stands for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. And it actually was worse than affirmative action, because instead of just about skin color, which was bad enough, they also threw in their sexual orientation and other political leanings. And, you know, I mean, it was, you know, it got to the point, DEI, during the height of the Biden administration, that companies were looking to actively hire someone who was, you know, different, bizarre. What, I can hire a transsexual with pink hair? All right, I'm going to do that. I don't care if they can do the job or not. I'm going to fit into that whole DEI profile. And that was happening all over the country, including right here in little old Washington County. So when Donald Trump became president again for the second time, he said, you know, this DEI stuff is actually kind of stupid. And it really enforces the idea that despite, do you understand, this is a number that blows people away. The perception in this country of the minorities is way out of whack. You ask somebody how many people identify themselves as homosexual or lesbian in this country, and most people say, oh, it's probably like 40% or something like that. It's between 8 and 11%. 1 in 10. How many people identify themselves as a transsexual, someone who maybe wants to be the other gender or whatever? Well, you know, with all the noise that you hear and all the loudness of people who believe that way, you would think it's, you know, 30 to 40%. It's a lot, right? No, it's not. It's less than 2%. In fact, some figures have it at less than 1%. Of the population identifies themselves that way. So perception is not reality in this case. And DEI was just about as stupid as it gets. Because you have these companies. Okay, say you're running a company, you have 20 employees. DEI said to you, you've got to have, out of your 20 employees, you've got to have 4 people of color, 3 people of, I'm going to call an alternate sexual belief. And you got to have one person, at least, maybe two, who identifies as the opposite gender, who is a transgender. That's what DEI was saying. That was the rules they were putting in place. Meanwhile, so you have these rules. You got to have this many. And then you look at the percentages and you go, wait a minute. I got to have 2 out of 20 people at transgender for my company. But the reality is it's less than 1% of people are actually transgender. So you got to find every company has to find that one person that identifies as a transgender, right? At one out of 100. But you have to hire 2 for your 20 employee company. How stupid is that, right? Does that make any sense at all? No, it does not. So anyway, a lot of these companies are pushing back now. They're like, you know what? You laid out these impossible rules for us to follow. Basically, you said we got to hire X amount of whatever it is, DEI, whatever. But there aren't that many. It doesn't exist. It's impossible. So if, you know, Joe down the street running an auto supply store has to hire 2 transgenders, and then Bob down the street running a television repair shop, and he has 10 employees. He says, well, I got to find a transgender too, because it's got to be 1 out of 10, right? Well, they're gone. There aren't any left. Now what do I do? Well, I'm going to be in violation. I might get in trouble with the, you know, the employee, whoever it is, the Department of Workforces or whatever. They were impossible edicts and rules to follow. So the pushback is basically this. Look, I want to hire, instead of hiring the person that fits your quota, your sexual or racial quota, I want to hire the person who can do the job the best. And, you know, my friend who runs a business here in town, he says, DEI was killing us. He says, I largely ignored it and I got in trouble. He says, but I decided my business was more important. And if I get in trouble with, you know, the Department of Workforces or whoever, Workforce Services or wherever, says if I get in trouble, so be it. I want my business to succeed. And if I follow their DEI rules, my business will not succeed. So he said, I ended up, the heck with it. I'm just hiring the best person for the job. no matter what gender or what race or whatever they were. I'm just going to hire the person who can do the job. And if they don't do the job, I'm going to fire them. I'm going to give them a warning. If they still don't do the job, I'm going to fire them. He said, and do I care what their sexual orientation is? Do I care whether they're transgender or they're Mexican or they're black or what? Do I care about that? No, I do not care. All I care is I want the person who will do the job. And so this story that came across the wire today kind of got me a little bit fired up, as you can probably tell, because this I don't know, advocacy group, I guess you call them, People's Union, is saying, hey, everybody boycott McDonald's. They're not following the DEI rules. Boycott them. It's almost enough to make me want to go drive over there on the boulevard and get a vanilla milkshake and a double cheeseburger and buy McDonald's just because I support the idea that companies should be able to hire who they want. Yeah, there are going to be racist owners who do bad things, right? That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is companies should be able to hire the right person for the job, the person who would do the job the best. And it should not matter what color they are, how tall they are, what you know, how much they weigh, what gender they are, what sexual orientation. Hire the best person for the job. If you want your business to succeed, do that. And the heck with people like the People's Union USA, which is calling for the boycott of McDonald's. In fact, I would call for, in response to their boycott, let's all go and have a McDonald's today, okay? Let's go get a McMuffin this morning or a cheeseburger this afternoon, one of those flurries or blizzards or whatever they sell over there, McFlurry, I think it's McFlurry, and show this People's whatever USA, People's Union USA, that we don't support DEI. We support companies that say the heck with DEI. By the way, I was a little disappointed in McDonald's response. McDonald's says that while it has changed some of its DEI language, none of the company's core programming has changed. So instead of McDonald's, like Starbucks said, yeah, we're changing it. Too bad. McDonald's said, yeah, we didn't really change much. It's, you know, just the way it's worded. That's all. So, you know, I wish McDonald's would come out with a little stronger and said, you know what, you can't bully us, People's Union USA. You can't bully us and tell us what to do. We're going to do what we do. And that's try to succeed in the business world. That's capitalism. I love it. This story came across the wire today, by the way. I thought this was fascinating. Okay, I'm not a big, like, revenge guy. Oh, they got me. I'm going to get them back. It does feel good if somebody gets you, say, if you're playing pickleball or basketball or something, somebody burns you, if you're able to burn them back. That's nice. But that's all in good fun, right? But there is new research that says revenge really is a dish best served cold. Check this out.
The study shows revenge is an emotional state where the memory of a past wrong won't fade. New research shows after cooling off, the act of revenge actually gives more satisfaction than a heated reply. It turns out it's all about timing, and the longer you wait, the better revenge feels, because revenge is in the brain's reward system. But Alexander Pope did write, forgiveness is divine. Couldn't hurt to try that. I'm Bree Tennis.
Wow, that really, that's a game changer, right? Oh, I mean, forgiveness is divine, and we should forgive. But, gosh, what if somebody really wronged you? That's a tough. I was teaching this Sunday. I was teaching some kids in church, and the topic was forgiveness and how you're supposed to forgive no matter what they do to you. And I'm teaching five-year-olds, right? And they're like, but if someone did something mean to you, shouldn't they say they're sorry? I'm like, yeah, they should say they're sorry. Well, shouldn't you tell someone if they do something mean to you? Yeah, you should tell someone. Well, then why should I, how can I forgive them? I mean, that doesn't make sense to me. These little kids are having a hard time grasping this concept. And I, you know, in a way, I was kind of like, you know, they're not wrong. If somebody does something, especially if they keep doing the same thing to you, or if they do something and they don't feel bad about it? I don't know. It's a really, really difficult concept. But I can tell you this, and this is what I told the kids. If you claim to be a Christian, if you claim to believe in Jesus Christ, the worst thing that anyone could do to anyone ever was what happened to Jesus Christ. And if you claim to be a Christian and he could forgive those who, they didn't apologize, they didn't take it back. If he can forgive them, shouldn't we? Food for thought, as that story about revenge came across the wire this morning. I'm like, that's a tough one to swallow. Forgiveness is divine, though. And we all should do it. And I think we all need to work on it a little bit more. I searched back in my memory banks. I can still, at almost 60 years old, 59 years old, I can think back on two or three people during the course of my lifetime that did stuff that was really, really, really not nice to me. Things that, like if someone does something to me inadvertently, weren't trying to do it and it happens, you know, that's bad, but you get over it. But these were people that made conscious choices to do things to me that were just not cool. And have I forgiven them? I think I have, but have I forgotten? I guess not. I'm talking about it right now on the radio. We'll be right back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
All right, welcome back. 9:33 on KDXU. I'm Andy Griffin. A couple of news items again. The Forsyth fire is up over 8,000 acres and 0% containment. The Grass Valley and Pine Valley are both under evacuation orders. Pinto is under optional evacuation. And they're in you go, ready, set, go. Pine Valley, Grass Valley are under go. In other words, get out. Pinto is under set, ready, set, go, right? And that means that they are allowed to in their homes, but be ready to leave at any time. Another thing, heads up for drivers in downtown St. George, from now until July 4th, Main Street will be closed between Tabernacle and 100 South. So just the one block there, but keep that in mind as crews work on a new crosswalk and other improvements near the City Hall building and historic town square. Again, that'll be wrapped up on July the 4th, but they wanted to let people know. Also, by the way, with that Forsyth fire, I guess some folks had flown some drones in the area. And again, if you fly a drone, they cannot fly the firefighting aircraft there. So you please do not. In fact, the Washington County Sheriff's Office said, if you fly, we can't. So don't fly. Do not bring your drones up there and try to get footage of it. I wrote a story about this on 890kdxu.com. I thought this was fascinating. In a reversal of previous views, experts are now urging a wider use of weight loss drugs. The American College of Cardiology says we should use GLP-1 drugs earlier and require patients to, as opposed to telling patients to live a healthier lifestyle. Now, a lot of folks out there who are not overweight are going, hey, wait a minute, what are you doing? You've been on us all, you know, ever since I can remember, to eat better, to exercise more, et cetera, et cetera. Now you're saying that we don't have to do that? No, they're not saying that. What they're saying is, look, people who are obese, people who are struggling with their weight, whether it's genetic, whether it's lifestyle, whatever it is, they are having success using Wegovy and Ozempic and Mounjaro and the other GLP-1 drugs. And they have not been able to find a reason for them not to do that. I compare it to this. Imagine you are on your kid to, I don't know, brush your teeth. We all did it, right, with our kid. Brush your teeth every night. You need to brush your teeth. Come on, brush your teeth. Well, when your kid has cavities, you can say, I told you so. I told you to brush your teeth. I told you over and over again. Will that fix their cavities? No. It won't fix their cavities. So what you do is you say, all right, you didn't brush your teeth. Now you have cavities. Go to the dentist and get your cavities fixed. Go get a root canal. Whatever it is, you've got to do it. Otherwise, your teeth are going to rot out of your mouth. So these health experts are saying, look, we've been on people to exercise and eat better forever. Well, guess what? They're still obese. I think as many as 30% of Americans are obese right now. I think 11% are morbidly obese. So what they're saying now, the health officials are saying now is, look, go get it fixed. Yes, we still want you to eat better. Yes, we still want you to exercise, but right now you've got a problem. You are overweight. You are borderline diabetes. Maybe you're pre-diabetic. Maybe you're already diabetic. The only way to fix all this stuff is to, not the only way, the best way to fix all this stuff is to go ahead and take those weight loss drugs. And then if you can get back where you're smaller, you're more likely to exercise, you're more likely to have lower blood pressure, you're more likely to have, you know, less plaque on your heart if you're eating less. And that's really the key with these GLP-1 medicines, you eat less. You fix it, then you can start brushing your teeth again, right? Then you can start eating better, and you can start exercising. Now, some people say, well, they're not going to do that. If they have a quick fix, easy fix with these GLP-1 medicines, why in the world would they exercise? Well, that's what doctors are saying. They're saying, look, okay, we told you to do this for as long as I can remember. You didn't do it, or maybe you did some of it, but you didn't do all of it. Now you got a problem. Fix the problem. You fix the problem. Then if you listen to us, then you'll be in great shape. And in fact, I've had doctors tell me, and I'm a big guy. I'm not like real fat, but I'm a big dude. I'm 6'5", 300 pounds, right? And I've had doctors tell me, you have the lifestyle of a man that should be thinner. You just aren't. I'm like, that. Thank you. I know that, right? Because I play pickleball, I walk, I try to do as much as I can. I don't eat a lot. And doctors have said, well, you are the perfect candidate for these GLP-1s. And I'm like, well, thank you. But what about, you know, those that aren't perfect candidates? Maybe those that aren't super active. Shouldn't they also get access to these drugs? And again, the medical industry, the health professionals have been very reticent. They've been very unwilling, unlikely, unwilling to change their opinion about this until yesterday when that story came out from the Department of Health and the, who was the main one that did it? The American College of Cardiology. These are the folks that study heart disease. And they said, you know what? Yeah, let's fix the problem first. And then we'll worry about getting them to exercise and eat right. Let's fix the problem. Now, unfortunately, the drug companies are making it hard for us to fix, quote, fix the problem, because they're making Wegovy, Ozempic, Mounjaro, other GLP-1 drugs really expensive. Now you look at Big Pharma and you go, okay, why are they making it? Shouldn't they want everybody to buy this? Well, the problem is they're making it so that, you know, I mean, Big Pharma is based on selling drugs, right? And how much money do they make on selling high blood pressure medicine? Statins, I think they call them. Or cholesterol medicine. Or heart disease medicine. Or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? How much money are they making on these? A lot of money. And so you got the big pharma, you know, Eli Lilly and those guys. You got these big pharma going, hey, if I give them this GLP-1 drugs, if I give them these weight loss drugs, they're not going to use my high blood pressure medicine. They're not going to use my heart medicine. They're going to stop using my insulin, buying my insulin. So I've got to charge them an arm and a leg. So at the very least, I'm recovering. I'm getting some of the money I'm going to lose out on in the future for all these other medicines. I got to get some of that money back right now. And so they're charging a lot of money. A lot of Mounjaro, I think, is $1,500 a month. Wegovy is $700 a month. And the medical professionals are saying, look, the problem with that amount of money is if you could, okay, say you're going to spend $10,000 on it, that's a year's worth, a little more than a year, and then be done with it, that was worth a $10,000 investment, right? I lost 50 pounds or 100 pounds or whatever, and I'm done. But the problem is if you don't change your lifestyle, which people kind of don't, right, unfortunately, not very often anyway, if you don't change your lifestyle, then you got to stay on the stuff forever. Forever. Yeah. And so these big pharmaceutical companies are going, hey, I'm going to charge you a lot of money. And as it turns out, I'm actually going to make money by you being on this forever because I know you're not going to change. I'm going to make $1,500 a month on you for the rest of time. You know, think about it. $1,500 a month for a year. What is that? $18,000? $18,000 a year for the rest of your life? All of a sudden, you know, these pharmaceutical companies are going, you know, I don't care if they don't buy my heart medicine or my blood pressure medicine or whatever. If I can get $1,500 a month, $18,000 a year off of all the 30% of Americans who are obese, who, well, probably not all of them are going to go on it, but half of those are going to want to be on it. And Big Pharma's like, okay. And so they got their doctor buddies, like the cardiology guys, say, you know, we haven't really found any problems, and they haven't. So maybe we should go ahead and recommend you take these medicines. Johns Hopkins actually came out. Samir Khan of Johns Hopkins says the drugs work, but they are expensive. And most insurances, unless you're already diabetic, won't pay for them. The thing that fascinates me the most about these weight loss medicines is they don't know why they work. The most brilliant scientists and doctors in the world still haven't quite figured it all out. This is that Khan guy I was talking about, Samir Khan. He says, we know these medicines play on a receptor in the brain, the hypothalamus, and we know that regulates our appetite, but scientists haven't figured out the precise mechanism for the way these medicines do that. They haven't figured it out. They don't know why it works. They know it makes your appetite less, makes you want to eat less. I had one doctor speculate that it slowed down the digestive system, therefore you feel fuller faster because food is moving through your stomach and then your colon at a slower rate. But I think that was mostly a guesstimate. They still aren't sure exactly why it does this, but they have come out again and said, we changed our mind. We think it's good that people take this. Now, there is one little asterisk up in the corner. Many patients that are on these drugs experience nausea, diarrhea, vomiting. And so there's a high, I don't know what the word is for it is, but there's a high rejection rate for this. If you take a drug, and I had an experience with this, I took some drug to improve my circulation in my lower legs. Well, the drug gave me diarrhea. And, you know, I hate to use that word on the radio, but it's the truth. That I took that drug, it gave me diarrhea. And not only did it give me diarrhea, it gave me what I call short notice diarrhea. In other words, you'd be walking along and all of a sudden, uh-oh, I got to go now. And you better find somewhere to sit down and take care of the problem or you're going to have a problem. So, yeah, I call it short notice diarrhea. The drug I was taking to improve circulation in my legs, I stopped taking it. I'm going to talk to my doctor. I think my appointment is this Thursday. And say, hey, you either got to find another drug or we got to find another treatment for my circulation problem because that stuff makes me sick, literally. And so, anyway, with those drugs, the GLP-1 drugs, the Wegovy, Mounjaro, et cetera, there is a problem with nausea, diarrhea, or vomiting. But one thing they did say was if you can get through the first month or so of taking this, your body starts to get used to it. And the frequency of nausea or vomiting or diarrhea is lower and lower to the point where if you're on it for 3 months, it pretty much goes away. You get used to it. But the problem is a lot of people take those in the first week or two. And it's a shot, by the way. They are coming up with a pill for it, but it's a shot right now. But the problem is after you're into it 2 to 3 weeks and you're still sick, you're like, I don't want to do this anymore. So they've got to address that too, obviously. All right. I am talking right through a break, so we better get one in right now. Pay the bills when we come back. I did want to talk about one of my favorite authors online, a guy by the name of Jeff Minnick. I don't know Jeff. I've never met Jeff. I've never talked to Jeff. But I love the way this guy writes. In fact, what I think I'm going to do, I'm going to try to get Jeff Minnick on a future show. Because I just like the way this guy writes and thinks. And anyway, he has an article online on the website Intellectual Takeout, 4 ways to stay sane in crazy times. And it's very well written, and I'm going to go over those 4 ways that we can stay sane in these insane times with bombs going off and fires everywhere. How can we stay sane? Jeff Minnick has some advice for us when we come back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
.951 on KDXU, winding down the show today, but I did want to spend a couple of minutes. And by the way, update on the Forsyth fire before I do that. It is over 8,000 acres of burnt land, 500 firefighters up there in the Pine Valley area. They're trying to protect Lloyd Canyon. I know a lot of cabins up there. So far, no more structures have burned. 13 total houses burned, but that's all. And that happened over the weekend, not yesterday or today. So thank goodness for that. And again, our thoughts and prayers and hopes and everything go with the firefighters and everyone up there working so hard on our behalf to try to quell the damage, try to shut it down. All right, I wanted to talk for just a couple minutes about this article by Jeff Minnick. It's on intellectualtakeout.org, one of my favorite websites. The article is titled, 4 Ways to Stay Sane in Crazy Times. And the first part of the article, it talks about how he knows people on both sides of the political aisle. And then Jeff leans a little bit conservative, but he's not a hardcore right-wing conservative. He can see both sides. He says he has good friends. He says he's got a couple of friends who absolutely despise Donald Trump, but they spend their time as a retired couple gardening, doing home improvement, spending time with their grandkids, reading stories to them, and they're happy. And he says, I have a couple of friends who are retired who are staunch conservatives. They love Donald Trump. And guess what they do in their spare time? They garden. They improve their house. They spend time with their grandkids. They read stories. He said, what do these people have in common? Obviously, they're retired, but what else? He said, both of them told me these are keys in staying sane in these crazy times. They have come up with 4 things they had in common. Number one, they monitor the amount of time they spend listening or watching the media. Now, I will, in parentheses, except the Andy Griffin Show. You can still listen to this. But they recognize that to spend hours a day sunken in bad news not only creates a false impression of the world, but is personally unhealthy. They remain aware of what's happening on the political front, but balance negative news with positives of a good book, time spent with their children, walks in the park, and other activities that generally don't involve smartphones or televisions. I like it. Okay, so number one, a way to stay sane in this crazy world is a diet, a media diet. And that includes social media. All right. Number two, ways to stay sane in this crazy world. Number two, believe in a power higher than a president, a Supreme Court justice, a congressman, a higher power, you know, a deity, a god. So number two, recognize your place in the universe and believe in a higher power than that is created by man. So number one, media diet. Number two, believe in a higher power. Number three, this is Jeff Minnick again. He said, the best of these men and women also practice that often ignored and least understood of virtues, humility. highly principled. They nevertheless understand that they don't have all the answers to all the troubles plaguing our society. A defining mark of these people, I have observed, is that they hold themselves to a higher standard than that by which they judge others. Wow. Okay, so instead of looking at someone and going, hey, look what's wrong with them, they look at themselves and they go, hey, how can I make myself better? I like it. Humility. Humility is one of those elusive things. Like, sometimes people who are humble get taken advantage of because they're humble. And shame on whoever's taking advantage of them. But humility is a big part of, should be a big part of who you are. It's okay to say, I don't know. It's okay to say, I can't decide. I'm not sure on that one. Can you help me? Ooh, asking for help is a good sign of humility. I can't do it on my own. And maybe that goes back to the whole higher power thing. I need help. I need help from a higher power. I need help from my spouse, my kids, my friends. That's humility. All right, number four. So number one, a social media diet. Number two, believe in a higher power. Number three, be humble. Show humility. And number four, finally, these builders from all walks of life and different political parties have one characteristic in common: gratitude. They're grateful. When's the last time you told anyone, say your boss, if you're still working, hey, appreciate you letting me do my thing? I don't think that way with the boss. I think, you know, I go to the boss and I go, again, another thing you want me to do? Ugh, more work. I want to go home. I've been here too. You know, that's kind of the attitude at work a lot of times. I already did. I already did enough. Let me out of here. I'm so tired, you know. But, yeah, gratitude. I'm grateful I have a job. I'm so lucky to be on the radio with you. I'm so fortunate to be able to do sports. I've been doing sports in Southern Utah for 31 years on the radio. I'm so lucky. I would think, I don't know, but I would think if I was lousy at it, you'd have thrown me out the air a long time ago. But I feel like I've got a little bit of a skill at it. But beyond that, there are still people who could say, well, we don't want that dude on the air. I'm grateful for it. So great words to help you stay sane in this crazy world. Limit your intake of social media and regular media. Believe in a higher power, be humble, and be grateful. I love it. Down to 2 minutes. Real quick, I want to tell you about Yellowstone. I did go on vacation, went with the family up to Yellowstone. I could talk for an hour about it or more. You know what's funny is I had, because I was still on that one leg medicine, I got really sick like several times. It rained a couple of times on us, including one big giant windstorm. I spent a crazy amount of money on gas for my truck, going up there and driving around and coming back. But despite all that, it was an unbelievably amazing time. I got to spend time with all of my kids. My one son with his four kids didn't come up to Yellowstone, but we stayed at their house before and after. So I got to spend time with each of my kids and their spouses and appreciate the people that they are. And yes, maybe have a little bit of pride in the people that they've become. I'm proud of that. I'm happy that they've become good people. Yellowstone was amazing. The amount of stuff at Yellowstone. So everybody, Yellowstone, okay, you got Old Faithful and you got the Grand Prismatic, the geyser and the big hot spring pool thing, right? Folks, I'm here to tell you, if you go to Yellowstone, yeah, you probably ought to see those so you can say you saw them, but there is so much more. Yellowstone was so amazing. So many different, I mean, just stuff that I don't even have time to talk about on the air, but so much cool stuff. If you haven't been to Yellowstone, and I hadn't been for 43 years last time I was at Yellowstone. Yeah, I had no idea. I didn't remember how much cool stuff there was. But if you got a chance to go, go. Yellowstone is awesome, especially if if you like water. I think they said there are 269 waterfalls in Yellowstone. I love waterfalls. Well, we've used it up. Zach Renstrom will be in with me tomorrow. We're going to talk water and heat and dryness and growth tomorrow on the Andy Griffin Show. Thanks for listening.